W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Capitol Hill Republicans reacting to a special counsel report on President Biden's handling of classified documents. ABC's Jay O'Brien.
95% of the reaction we've been getting from congressional Republicans at this hour has very little to do with the law or the legal questions in this report. All of the reaction, or practically all of it we've seen from Republicans right now, is talking about these issues of the president's memory.
Special Counsel Robert Hur is not recommending criminal charges, but his report does criticize Mr. Biden and his associates, and it takes issue with Mr. Biden's memory during their interview. The Supreme Court appears poised to reject an attempt by Colorado to ban former President Trump from the ballot after hearing arguments today. ABC News can project Mr. Trump will win the Virgin Islands Republican caucus. Virginia's House of Delegates votes down a bill that would have resulted in a nearly total ban on abortions. This is ABC News. Next Wednesday is Ash Wednesday for many of the world's Christians, meaning this is the last weekend of Mardi Gras. But some in New Orleans might have to skip a delicacy. Mardi
Gras! The parades will still roll through the Garden District and liquor will flow in the French Quarter. But in many restaurants, crawfish is off the menu.
We're just not catching it. We just don't have crawfish to put out there on the market.
Crawfish farmer Barry Toop says the drought and extreme heat of the past year have severely cut into the harvest.
Some people are going to go under.
And the mud bugs that can be found in grocery stores or restaurants are about twice the price of 2023. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Google's introduced a free artificial intelligence app for smartphones. It will allow people to connect to a digital brain, which can write for them, interpret what they're reading, or just manage their lives. It was a big day on Wall Street. The Dow and the S&P both closed again at record highs, and the S&P briefly crossed 5,000. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artist. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
The Todd Allbutt Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he might call for an independent investigation into recent deaths in Wisconsin state prisons. He told reporters in Darlington yesterday he's waiting for the results of Department of Corrections internal investigations into three deaths at Waupun. The daughter of one of the inmates is suing the state. President Biden and Donald Trump are tied in the latest Marquette poll at 49% each. In a five-way race, third party and independent candidates get 22%.
I think it reflects the broad dissatisfaction with both Trump and Biden as the matchup. And so people unhappy with that are expressing it by saying at this point they'd vote third party.
Poll director Charles Franklin on the Devil's Advocate Show. The election is 9 months away. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Bucks trade away Robin Lopez. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks making moves at the NBA trade deadline. They've picked up guard Patrick Beverley from the 76ers in exchange for their second-round pick in the 2027 draft. The move seen as a way to improve on defense. Beverley is 35 years old, played for Doc Rivers when he was the head coach in Philadelphia. To make room, the Bucks traded Robin Lopez, the twin brother of Brooke, to the Sacramento Kings for cash considerations. The Kings then expected to release him, making him a free agent. The Bucks hosting the Timberwolves tonight. College hoops, the Badgers losing in Michigan last night, 72-68. Wisconsin has now lost three in a row. Turnovers, defense are to blame. How can they fix it? Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
Six of the first 19 possessions, we turned the ball over. Yeah, I mean, you give any team confidence, let alone one that's really searching for good things to happen, you're asking for trouble. That's the game right there.
That's Wisconsin's head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Couple of rain showers around this evening, snow showers tonight, and breezy. A low close to 30. Staying rather breezy tomorrow, a few flurries mainly early, otherwise cloudy and a high in the mid-30s. Some sun back this weekend, highs close to 30. It's 46 right now.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome. Busted Pencils Thursday, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking educations. Dr. Tim Slugger, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, little bit of a thing going on right now, but he will be back. We promise. Anya's here, though. Producer Anya, we always love when you're in the studio, rocking the mic when you can throw it in there. So, Anya, check it out. I got a question for you.
Okay.
Like at 1 a.m., can you be found with like that blue kind of glowing light in your face, you know, kind of making sure, checking your Twitter feed, doing the, you know.
Yeah,
the...
usually around that time I'm getting a text from some crazy guy named Tim about some audio they need tomorrow. So I've got not just the little blue light, but my two big blue lights of my editing PC at home. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Why?
Nice.
Why do you ask?
I just thinking about this. Well, you know, how many now? I know we've heard this actually, and I know there's been a big push in some European countries, Finland in particular, the idea of the dreaded cell phone being in schools, kids totally wrapped up, spending their time addicted. Yeah, 2 a.m., kids are under their sheets. You know, they used to hang out with flashlights under their sheets and read comic books.
That was now me as a kid.
And now, though, they're under their sheets with their cell phones. Who knows what they're doing? Well, we might have somebody here who knows what they might be doing. Our guest is a full professor at the University of Wisconsin at Whitewater. She's also affiliated with the Holt Center for Science and Technology Studies at the UW-Madison. That's University of Wisconsin-Madison. She has written several books, over 80 peer-reviewed articles on computing management, ethics, public policy, disability studies, and related topics. And if you've listened to Busted Pencils over the years, you'd know her as Caller Joanne from Madison. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Dr. Joanne Orvec. Hi, Joanne. How are you?
This is a complete delight for me. I'm the biggest fan of the show. And I'm hoping to give the students, your colleagues, some
right.
glimpses of what the technology angles of all of this are, as well as some of the educational angles, although some of that's going to have to wait till the very end. We have some secrets to share about what to do practically about some of these issues.
Okay, now I've heard this, though. You know, I'm playing around with Anya talking about this, but I've heard this, and I wonder how you can help us address this. You know, people say, yeah, you know, oh, man, I'm addicted to that. I'm addicted to this. And then we hear kids are addicted to cell phones. Is it really an addiction, or is it just something that we older people are annoyed by?
It's
Joanne.
An addiction. It's an addiction. Oh. I get paid by a company, Inspira Corporation. It's an AI startup to help them make their products more addictive, to make them products that people would like to use longer, not put down, and all of that. And that's the big secret of almost all social media products. As you might have heard, we had a whistleblower from Facebook, Francis Haugen, who had documentation along these lines about how meetings at Facebook were about these addiction level issues, how to make the product more addictive, make us stay longer. We get evaluated as technologists as to how long people use our items and don't drift away to do other things like eat or sleep or maybe talk to other people face to face.
So I'm meeting right now then in this show tonight with a dealer is what you're telling me.
That's exactly right. And that's why I'm going to be telling you some of the secrets of all of this, of the behavioral modification that goes on. And I'm hoping to give you some strategies if you're really hooked. A simple strategy. Yeah, okay.
No, I love it. Hey, the number's 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Our guest, Dr. Joanne Oravec, looking at, first of all, you know, a lot of stuff we're going to cover here, you know, all the way to the Super Bowl, even, believe it or not, we're going to put the Super Bowl into this. But Joanne, you know, technology, mostly cell phones, addictions, you said, yes, it's a real thing. The blue lights, and we know particularly in schools, I see teachers, principals, superintendents, school board meetings all over the country saying, you know, we're no more cell phones. The kids aren't allowed to have them. You know, all kinds of attempts to regulate, squash out, make them go away. If there is an addiction, though, this is just a question of interest to me. If we take their phones away, won't the addicts be even worse off if they don't have it?
Well, I'm hoping that we'll get callers along these lines. I'm hoping we attract people who will fess up to their addictions. Now, I'm going to fess up to a secret that I don't tell most people. I was an addict of computing in the 1970s when I was doing computing. I was one of those people in the white coats and behind the glass and all of that. I was working up to 100 hours a week and completely loving it, the power of computing and all that. So it may take some fancy screens and all of that to hook people today, but I'll tell you something. There's something in computing that we can talk about that is addictive, whether or not it's a big mainframe behind some glass in 1970s or it's that little casino in your hand that's telling you to bet more and more and giving you side bets and prop bets and all of that. We can talk a little bit about the mechanics of betting, which is going to be fun as well.
Well, I think people look at this too, you know, when you say the technology, the blue lights, it's like, you know, but to understand the addiction part of it, try, you know, let's explain that a little bit in that. I mean, you know, because I, and obviously I was playing around with this, you know, and I've looked at the studies, but I mean, the reality is that, I mean, it's not the blue lights and the flashing things that are, it is the whole idea. And at least you help me understand this, that, so if you're a Facebook person and you're out there and all of a sudden you get a like, and you like that like, and then you like back that like, that actually that exchange of just using your thumb and clicking like and reading like, and then waiting for your pocket to ding off so that you can know that you got a like, that's actually creating a chemical reaction in your brain that is creating truly an addiction. Is that real, or am I just reading the bad literature?
That's exactly right. We are entities that crave self-efficacy, that crave agency. And these devices give us that. And just to give us the, to loop in that example, so people won't think we're going to drop that gaming and gambling topic.
Well, we're not.
When the young person who maybe is failing in a lot of aspects in life and doesn't feel very good about him or herself earns $100 through some gambling that he or she does, or fantasy, daily fantasy sports, as they say, DFS, they try to reframe it so it's not really gambling, as we'll discuss. That's going to give that person some self-efficacy, some sense of agency, and which is extremely addictive. What we're trying to do in the organization that I'm working in is build good habits, mm-hmm. but through those very same mechanisms. And we shouldn't put down the lights and the colors and the sounds and the whole structure of what's going on. Even fonts can be addictive in many ways. Wow. So again, the whole package that Facebook was so just empowered to put together, they got some great scientists to work on making Facebook addictive. All of that is bundled into what's addictive by itself. We like to gamble. People gamble on a lot of things in their lives. We're risk takers and all of that. And you bundle all this together in a little package that's a casino in your pocket. That's very scary for young people to dismiss as an option.
How young people? I'm just thinking now, if my mom's listening, I'm sorry, Mom, but Joanne, I want to, my mom on her iPad, she, you know, Facebook, yeah, but she like, no, she plays those casino games on her iPad. They're not connected though, as far as I know, because I haven't gotten a huge inheritance from her actually, you know, but she likes the game aspect. Tell us something about that whole idea of the, like the gaming, because I, you know, some of the notes you gave me here, there's something in that. I mean, okay, Mom, if you're out there, is my mom addicted to gambling on the iPad?
Right. The addiction part of it has a number of different aspects. We can go through one by one. Proximity. How easy is it to get to that a venue where you'll be able to work your magic and be have some agency, have that self effectiveness? You know, that cookie jar that's far away is not going to be as tempting as the cookies that are right on the shelf next to you. And so that proximity is a big aspect, but also let's work a few other dimensions. The leaderboard aspect or the competition with others, a huge aspect that a lot of these daily fantasy sports, which are the DraftKings and the FanDuels, we'll get into those, sports bet and all of that is very, very addictive, that you are climbing up the leaderboard. And that's what we're using, even in advanced AI products that are going to be used in office settings and all of that, that you are getting a little bit better than the person down the hallway or next to you and all of that and various aspects of your work. So again, you have to look at the entire package that makes something addictive. The gambling is addictive in itself. And we don't want to, negate the fact that, yeah, we all love to gamble to a certain extent. But when you couple it with devices that are in themselves very, very addictive, you add social media to it, as some of these devices are doing with gambling. And you also, you can make it seem fun in so many different ways by being reminiscent. You know, even some of the themes, the gambling themes are reflected in these programs. I had some of my students analyze a set of sports programs. And, you know, the gambling themes that are, you know, reminiscent of movies like Casino and all of that. You really feel you're there even though you're home.
Oh, man. Our guest, Dr. Joanne Oravec, gambling, social media, gamification, kids are addicted. My mom at home is addicted to her iPad. Busted pencils. More after the break. For more.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
It's Black History Month, and civic media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We always break right through the undertow, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, social media apps, addiction, sports betting, the Super Bowl. We're covering it all here. Our guest, Dr. Joanne Oravec, University of Wisconsin-Whitewater and affiliated with University of Wisconsin-Madison, all kinds of credentials behind her name, all kinds of books and articles to her credit. However, though, producer Anya, do you have a social media addiction, or are you free of that stuff?
Oh, do I have just one? I've been sitting here this whole time going, yes, I definitely have some level of a social media addiction. It's not slots games or gambling games, thankfully, and I don't really do fantasy sports. But I will find myself for hours on TikTok, even though I've been having problems with my algorithm where it's like, why am I seeing all this stuff I don't like? Get out of here. I keep scrolling, trying to almost dig myself down to where is that good stuff I want? The videos that make me laugh or give me an idea or the things that I enjoy about TikTok. Instead, if I'm not finding what I like, I'm still there and I'm still... Mm. Every 10 videos or so going past an ad that sends however many pennies to TikTok, and I'm just contributing to my own downfall, I know, but I can't help myself.
Well, you said that, though. And so, Joanne, you know, the social media, we forget TikTok. There's an addictive aspect there, like producer Anya was saying. Just give us a little bit more about how does Anya get addicted to TikTok?
There are many ways in which the algorithms, to bring up that 50 cent word that everybody's sick of, are designed to catch you. TikTok knows a lot about her and can guess, sometimes guess wrong about what she likes, and have all of that stacked up ready to go when she seemingly tires with one theme to move on to a different theme and all of that. And of course, all of the other things we were talking about, all the colors and the motion and the excitement and all of that, also a sense of community as well, because we are a part, when we use TikTok, of a nation of TikTok users. And so we get that sense of community. Again, to say that all of this is bad and we should, turn off all of our devices and all of that is almost impossible. But what we should do as educators is start bringing some of the TikTok know-how and the Facebook know-how and the FanDuel know-how into our classes. We could be doing a lot more with serious games, even prediction contests. I have in every one of my classes a prediction contest of some sort. For example, the stock price of Tesla up or down, the stock price of Google up or down. I have an MBA as well as my other degree. And that's the type of thing that will rope students in. And talking about the business angle, I just brought up the MBA angle. Just look at some of the ownership dimensions of the companies that we're going to be talking about. FanDuel, for example, is owned in part by Fox Corporation. Okay. And some big, big money is behind BetMGM, which is and sports points bet, which are both blanketing Any TV station you're thinking of, as well as banner ads and all of that. I had a banner ad just getting over here with a solicitation. So again, there's so much that we need to be thinking about. It's a systems level problem, not an individual problem. If we think that the way to solve all this is just to tell people, be strong, don't succumb to the siren call of this stuff, we'll lose out. We need to be thinking about what we are offering students, the excitement that we can offer as educators, and what we should maybe not be offering. And to that end, a lot of you probably saw the 60 Minutes program not too long ago, 3 days ago, 4 days ago, in which they were talking about some of the sporting.
Give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. If you're addicted to TikTok like Anya, we want to hear from you. But no, Joanne, let's make that pivot, though, too, to saying, okay, so the gamification, the social media, now the sports apps betting that is on our phones where you can literally bet money, win money, and the fact that, you know, we're worried about kids using phones. So some schools are like, you know, put them away. But the reality now is that this betting, the fact that it shows up on your phone like a video game, this is a concern, really. You know, it might be a big thing if kids are on Facebook too long, but the reality of a gamification betting sports app that's on their phone while they're in school, what could possibly go wrong there?
Many students are losing money, a great deal of money, as well as time. As you know, students' time, even though they think they have a lot of time, it's limited. And as they spend more and more time in this fantasy sports world, where they have to keep up with the teams and the players and all of that, that can limit what they can put into their educations, the time and effort. Now, it's great when you're cheering on your own team in a big stadium and you've got everybody around you. But when you're isolated and you're in your room and you're playing with factors that let's say are designed to hook you and all of that, it's not as healthy. And that's what I'm talking about in terms of addiction. Addiction is pushing things to the point at which it's dysfunctional for the individual, right? Not just in taking money out of their pocket, but also in diminishing their life chances.
There's so much that goes on there. L.A. Tom is on the line. L.A. Tom, are you out there using sports betting apps, Tom? What's happening, Tom?
No, not at all. I'm too ADHD to be doing a lot of that stuff. I get bored by it. I have been addicted to TikTok because, honestly, it's the one where I kind of go undercover, where no one knows it's even me, and I don't have to worry about feeling obligated to like their stuff or anything. I just watch it. I watch the videos, and I can go down that rabbit hole. But honestly, a lot of the things that I must have good algorithms, because when I go on there, I see a lot of, you know, really positive things. I don't see a lot of negative. I mean, probably more in the progressive side of things. So I'm seeing more of those types of things, so it doesn't make me feel so bad. Whereas like Twitter, or now I guess it's called X, you know, that can really leave you. I really use social media as more of a broadcast thing. So if I see something that I like on social media, I want other people to know about it that normally would not. So as an example, I have 4,000 followers or whatever it is. And the thing is, I want them, maybe they're not as educated or whatever about some of the stuff, but I want them to see an FDR clip, or I want them to see you know, something that Joe Biden has done that's positive rather than all of the negative that's out there.
Well, so L.A. Tom, I love that on Twitter, L.A. Tom does repost, retweet, or re-X all the Busted Pencil stuff. L.A. Tom, if you want, hold on there. We keep you through the break and let you come back and finish your thoughts. Our guest, Dr. Joanne Orvec, more after the break.
Believe your eyes, a sacrifice is not You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Capitol Hill Republicans reacting to a special counsel report on President Biden's handling of classified documents. ABC's Jay O'Brien.
95% of the reaction we've been getting from congressional Republicans at this hour has very little to do with the law or the legal questions in this report. All of the reaction, or practically all of it we've seen from Republicans right now, is talking about these issues of the president's memory.
Special Counsel Robert Hur is not recommending criminal charges, but his report does criticize Mr. Biden and his associates, and it takes issue with Mr. Biden's memory during their interview. The Supreme Court appears poised to reject an attempt by Colorado to ban former President Trump from the ballot after hearing arguments today. ABC News can project Mr. Trump will win the Virgin Islands Republican caucus. Virginia's House of Delegates votes down a bill that would have resulted in a nearly total ban on abortions. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 48% of Wisconsin voters say they're against a ban on abortions after the first 14 weeks of pregnancy. That's according to the latest Marquette poll. 45% tell the poll they're in favor. The poll finds 86% support for legalizing medical marijuana and 63% back legalizing marijuana in general. Congress seems no closer to addressing the large number of people seeking asylum in the United States. Immigration law expert Vina Eiler says misinformation about refugees' motives is making matters worse.
They're going to be just as desperate, and we're concerned about those folks trying to cross unsafely, being exploited.
Eiler says a southern border crackdown will make things more dangerous for people seeking asylum. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Couple of rain showers around this evening, snow showers tonight, and breezy. A low close to 30. Staying rather breezy tomorrow, a few flurries mainly early, otherwise cloudy and a high in the mid-30s. Some sun back this weekend, highs close to 30. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Matt Nair on Air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.